Chapter 10, Further Expansions. Stephen, camper at Maryland Camp Abilities. I just want to feel the whole fish. Photo description, surfing at Camp Abilities in Long Island. Launching a new camp is never easy. It takes time, money, local connections, and access to people who can recruit counselors and campers. People sometimes tell me, you should start a camp in California. Or some other place. But I cannot start a camp in a place I don't live. A passionate, committed, and goal-driven local person has to reserve a facility, recruit athletes and coaches, solicit local Lions clubs, and obtain equipment from nearby. So I am not the one who chooses where to start a camp. Rather, it is a teacher, parent, or other dedicated person in the field who reaches out to me, comes and visits our camp, downloads our Camp Abilities startup manual, and then takes the reins with my blessing. We have Camp Abilities trademark, so permission is required. The camp must be an educational sports camp specifically for youth with visual impairments, and the ratio of athletes to coaches must be 1-to-1, or very close to that. Once a camp is started, each year thereafter becomes easier. One director in Olympia, Washington, held a one-day camp to start. The director of that camp, Keith Edgerton, who is visually impaired himself, called me in tears after that first day program and said it was the best and most powerful thing he had ever done. Maryland. Sometimes a new camp comes together like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. You know, the pieces are all there, but at first you don't see how they fit together. That was our Maryland camp. The pieces actually started appearing in the late 1990s when we had a professor of sport philosophy from Wales, Alan Hardman, at Brockport. His wife Joanna was in our master's program in adapted physical education. When they returned to Wales, she taught adapted physical education at the local university in Cardiff. Not long after, Joanna sent one of her students, Drew Dalton, to study with us in our master's degree program. After graduating, he got a job teaching in Prince George's County, Maryland, where he met other adapted physical education and vision teachers who shared his desire to launch a Camp Abilities in Maryland. In 2008, they teamed with the State Lions Camp to open the camp along the Potomac River. I attended the first camp, as I often do, and worked one-on-one with an 8-year-old boy named Stephen, who is blind. Stephen was petite for his age, and had experienced few recreational activities in his life. One day during camp, I took Stephen and another camper on a canoe ride on the Potomac River. With the canoe on the grass next to the dock, I had them both feel the whole canoe and its paddles, and then sit in the canoe to show them how to paddle. We talked about not rocking the boat and why. The Potomac River in areas of Maryland is turbulent, and we had to be very careful not to tip over. Once we got on the water, I felt the boat tipping to one side and saw that Stephen was reaching his hand in far over to the side. I felt a bit nervous as it was, and Stephen reaching out into the water scared me even more. The river was particularly rough that day, so I told him reaching out like that might make the boat unstable. "I just want to feel the fish," he said. I asked him where he thought the fish were. As it turned out, he thought they swam only on top of the water. He had heard people say they saw fish, and he didn't realize it was possible to see through the water to fish swimming below. Once again, I was reminded that children who are blind or visually impaired might not understand what others see as simple concepts. Later that day, Stephen caught a fish. When we took the fish off the line, he stroked and patted it incessantly all over its body. "I feel the eyeballs. I can feel the tail," he said with enthusiasm. Now we will have to name the fish. So we named it Lucky and put it in a bucket. Stephen kept going over to make sure it was still there, each time stroking the entire body. He told his friends to come over and stroke the fish so they could feel it too. Eventually, I had to release Lucky so he could live up to his name and stay alive. But I substituted another fish because I knew Stephen would need to go back that night and visit Lucky. Happily, he didn't know the difference. The experience with Stephen heightened my awareness that a lot of concepts can be difficult for kids who are visually impaired. For example, I had him fill his own water bottle from a large water jug. I had him go to the spigot on the bottom of the jug and push it himself to fill his water bottle. It did not occur to me that he did not know what the whole jug looked like or how it worked. He didn't know how water got into the big jug, so I had him fill the jug to find the spout at the bottom and the big lid on the top. I explained to him how it worked and how the water filled from the bottom so it came out the spout. Another time, I was teaching him in the pool, and Steven wanted a pool noodle. We went over to the side of the pool, and I said, "Why don't you get it yourself?" There were several pool noodles, but there were also kickboards, diving rings, diving sticks, arm floaties, and other water items. Feeling for the noodles, he felt these other pieces of pool equipment and asked me to explain each one. As I did, he revealed that he hadn't known any of them existed. Apparently, people had just given him a noodle without telling him about all the other pool equipment available. I felt awful that I had not thought of this and offered him choices. He was elated that there were more to play with than just the pool noodles. He tried the diving rings, the kickboards, and the swim floaties, and he decided to ask his parents for other kinds of pool equipment after this. Camp Abilities Maryland was a wonderful learning experience for the athletes, but I know that every person, no matter their background or experience, learned a lot that week. I sure did. We take so many things for granted because we can see them once and understand how they work. Stephen, like all children, needed to explore to understand. Texas. In 2008, we began a wonderful collaboration in Texas with my friend Carlos Cervantes, who taught at the Texas State University in San Marcos, and Joe Pascal from the Texas School for the Blind in Austin. They teamed up to provide a Camp Abilities for transition age youth, young people between the ages of 14 and 19 who are focusing on the life skills they will need when they leave school. These skills involve vocation, independent living, and recreation and leisure. The camp was held in San Marcos on the campus of Texas State University and paid for by the transition support funds from the Texas Blind Services Division. Some of the campers were from the School for the Blind, and some were from the surrounding community. For many, it was their first sports camp experience. I helped with the logistics, but Carlos and Joe made it all happen. A doctoral student from the Texas Women's University, Kelly Allams Featherstone, also helped with the organization and implementation. On opening day, due to circumstances beyond my control, I arrived very late, after the designated parent drop-off time. Parents had been waiting with their children for over an hour, and I was sure they would be upset. I would have been. Instead, when I walked in, they started clapping and thanking us all for what we were doing for their children. It was a timely reminder of the importance of the camp to the children and families we serve. One hot and dusty day, we took a van full of campers to Fredericksburg to go hiking on a mountain called Enchanted Rock. Campers walked in pairs with their two counselors as guides. Some used their canes, others held a short rope or tether with the guide. A few campers walked in a line, each with a hand on the shoulder in front of them, a coach and an athlete together leading the way. Our group was something of a surprise to other hikers on the trail. They stared at us, a bit startled to see people who are blind hiking up a mountain. This reminded me that being out in the community doing everyday activities is not only good for the campers, but also educates the public on the very real abilities of people with visual impairments. We walked along the trail slowly but surely. The trail was mostly dirt and rocks with areas of water runoff. It was hard on the ankles. The campers, excited and motivated to get to the top, encouraged each other. "Come on, Derek, you can do it. Sarah, just take one step at a time." We were never far apart, always waiting for each other. As each determined camper neared the top, the others cheered them on. It was inspiring to get the whole group all the way to the top. Once there, we high-fived everyone and took a group photo. It was a great feeling for us counselors to see the confidence and enthusiasm of the athletes, many of whom had never been to the top of a mountain. A beautiful river ran through the campus in San Marcos. After a 30-foot waterfall, the river slowly widened into a large pool before it crossed some rocks and rapids. Along the wide part stood a 10-foot cliff above a swimming hole. Campers and counselors loved getting into the water there. Campers would feel their way around to get the lay of the obstacles. The sun was shining, and the Texas weather was so hot that this was a welcome break in our day. When some counselors started jumping off the cliff, they showed the campers how to find the end of the cliff and jump into the deepest part of the pool, 10 feet down. Several campers who were blind began jumping independently, with no fear, into the pool. They would get to the end of the grassy cliff and ask, "Is it clear?" When they heard the all clear signal, they would jump screaming into the river. It wasn't long before several other campers would get out of the shallows, walk up the path, and jump into the pool independently. The smiles on their faces were amazing. Seeing those smiles, I, of course, had to try it myself. What a wonderful experience it was watching children who are visually impaired exploring with energy, enthusiasm, and no small measure of courage. Camp Abilities in Texas eventually moved to the campus of Texas Women's University in Denton, Texas, where it has been successfully run by Dr. Lisa Silliman French and Lisa Hansen. Long Island. The Long Island camp was special because it was started by a college undergraduate. In the summer of 2007, Lisa Inella, then a student at Adelphi University in Garden City, Long Island, was a volunteer at the Brockport camp. 2 days before camp ended, she asked me what it would take to start a camp in Long Island. I liked the idea because it's always been hard for parents from New York City or Long Island to make the 6 or 7 hour trip to Brockport twice. Having a camp on Long Island would benefit everyone. During the year, Lisa worked with my friend Dr. Ellen Kowalski, one of her professors. They made a great team, raising money and recruiting qualified students as counselors. The idea was to start with a 3-day camp over a weekend in 2009. The New York State Commission for the Blind was reluctant to offer financial aid because the director, Lisa, was still a student and had never run a camp. In the end, Lisa and Ellen paid most of the expenses for their first camp out of their own pockets. It showed me what determination and perseverance can accomplish, a theme in everything we do at Camp Abilities. As the time for the camp approached, Lisa realized she couldn't afford much equipment, so she rented a U-Haul and drove 7 hours to Brockport to pick up tandem bikes and equipment for goalball and beat baseball. At the end of the weekend camp, she drove it all back. The weekend was a terrific success. I helped with the training of the volunteers and worked with the 13 campers who attended. Many of the campers had never been to a sports camp, and a few had never even met a peer who was blind. As a special treat, Lisa hired Reptile Man to come and show the campers iguanas, turtles, and snakes. For most campers, it was a new experience to get to touch and hold these creatures. There were many aha moments. Young children touched every inch of a turtle, as one of the counselors explained the parts. They stroked the length of a large snake and made faces when they felt the scales on the backs and necks of the iguanas. On the 3rd day of camp, I saw 2 boys who were blind with their arms around each other. Juan, 11 years old, and Justin, 13 years old, had just played beat baseball and were clearly very happy and comfortable around other campers and each other. In fact, they told me they were best friends. I asked how long they had known each other. "Since Friday," they said. This, I said to myself, is what Camp Abilities is all about. It was the first sports camp experience for both, and the first time they had met other children with visual impairments. They had become best friends over the weekend. During camp, several professors and administrators from the physical education department at Adelphi came to visit their colleagues and counselors involved. Several children's counselors from the New York Commission for the Blind came to observe as well, and soon the commission began to fund the Long Island camp in addition to the one in Brockport. This was a big help. It didn't cover all of Lisa's costs, but with other grants and fundraising, she was able to cover the rest of the expenses so parents wouldn't have to pay anything. Boston. Megan O'Connell Kopp, my first graduate assistant, 1999 to 2000, got her first job at the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind and began running camp abilities there in 2002. She eventually got a job closer to home in Messina, New York, in Watertown, Massachusetts, at the Perkins School for the Blind. There, she and another Brockport graduate, Maeve Barry, from Cork, Ireland, helped start the Boston Camp Abilities, held for the first time in April 2012. In addition to children from Perkins, the camp hosted children from inclusive schools all over New England. With its wonderful facilities, Perkins is a perfect place for the camp. It has a pool, indoor and outdoor tracks, many bikes, and goalball gym. Most importantly, it has a staff highly skilled in teaching children with visual impairments. Since camp was held in the middle of the semester during a Perkins school break, I was unable to attend because of teaching obligations in Brockport. I was fortunate to send several of my students there to help with the program over the years. The staff and campers do an amazing job with rowing and stand-up paddleboarding on the Charles River, rock climbing, and of course, goalball, tandem biking, track and field, and much more. During the second year of camp abilities at Perkins, a horrific incident occurred nearby, the Boston Marathon bombing. The week took on a sad, stressful air. On the last night of camp, the police received a tip about where one of the escaped bombers was hiding, right down the street from Perkins in a boat on someone's property. The next day, the parents were supposed to come for the sports showcase and awards at the closing ceremonies and pick up their children. They had not seen their children all week and were looking forward to picking them up and learning about their accomplishments. With the bomber on the loose, the town of Watertown was locked down. Everyone had to remain in their homes and crouch beneath any windows. The children hid in the basement of one of the dorms on campus, while Megan, hiding just a block away beneath a window in her house, was forbidden to go outside. She was sadly unable to get to the dorm to reassure them. She was terrified. I had been following the successes and achievements of camp athletes all week, feeling the excitement. But when I heard about the tragedy unfolding right there in Watertown, my excitement turned to terror. The police searched for hours, and parents were told not to come anywhere near Perkins until the suspect was caught. I could not imagine that what they were going through. That afternoon, I was scheduled to speak to the faculty and students at our end-of-the-year honors and awards ceremony. I had prepared an intense 3-minute speech about how to succeed at what you want to do. When I walked into the ceremony, there had been no word over the whole excruciatingly long day about the capture of the bombing suspect. As I waited to speak, my thoughts remained on the children and their counselors huddled in the basement of the North Building at Perkins, and the parents who were pulled over on the side of the road, waiting to swoop in and hug their children tight. When I finally spoke, I was distracted and could hardly relate to the words I was saying. I wanted to plead with everyone in the audience to pray for the safety of every citizen in Watertown, and especially for our athletes at Camp Abilities, whose lives were truly in danger. I tried to reassure myself that since a fence enclosed the entire Perkins campus, the children must be safe. But then I worried that this was exactly where a suspect would want to hide, a place with a fence around it. I managed to finish the speech and find my way to my car. When I got home, the suspect was still at large. Finally, by dinner time, police had captured him and the children were released to their parents. I always want camp abilities to be memorable, but not this kind of memorable. I hope to this day that the athletes remember their sports accomplishments that week and not just the lockdown in the basement on the final day. I'm happy to report the Boston camp has been running smoothly with no incidents since. Georgia. As an undergraduate at Westchester University, Janine Fittipaldi-Wirt was a little older and more mature than her peers. A native of Philadelphia with an accent to match, Janine was petite and a natural athlete. One summer, she arrived with a group of Westchester students to volunteer for Camp Abilities in Brockport. She was matched with a one-to-one with a girl who was blind, and she performed beautifully. Her booming voice, quick laugh, and high energy gave her whole group a big lift. Janine fell in love with Camp Abilities and went on to become a group leader in Brockport and then one of the original volunteers in Arizona. In Arizona, she helped with orientation, a variety of sports, general organization, assessment, and most importantly, overall morale. She was instrumental in helping that camp flourish. After several summers volunteering at the Arizona Camp Abilities, Janine came to graduate school at SUNY Brockport to study adapted physical education. She continued her camp involvement, working as a specialist for many years. She stayed involved in the Arizona camp as well, even acting as director for 1 year. She also put energy into the creation of the Pennsylvania camp at Westchester University. For her doctorate in physical education teacher education, Janine attended Auburn University in Alabama. Her experience in adapted physical education helped make the program at Auburn more inclusive, as they had no faculty with a specialty in adapted physical education at the time. Following her graduation, Janine began a job in pedagogy and adapted physical education at Columbia State University in Columbus, Georgia, where she quickly started some wonderful programs. She stayed involved in Camp Abilities Arizona, bringing her own students to volunteer and ensuring the camp was staffed with experienced, passionate, and professional people, the heart and soul of the camp. It wasn't long before Janine created a Camp Abilities in Georgia. Its first year, 2012, it was held over a long weekend with five campers who relished the opportunity to learn new sports and make friends. Janine began getting attention from her university and from the local media as the Camp Abilities culture entered Columbus. The second camp was also held over a long weekend, but this time with many more campers. Beep kickball was added, and more Paralympic athletes were brought in. Today, Camp Abilities in Columbus, Georgia is a thriving camp with both university and community support. A wonderful group of campers eagerly awaited returning to camp each summer. In 2018, Janine went to North Georgia to help start a second camp with Katie Proctor, a vision teacher who graduated from the Florida State University Teacher of Students with Visual Impairment program. Saratoga, New York. At our 2012 camp in Brockport, we hosted 2 days of visits from members of the Saratoga Lions Club who were very excited about starting their own Camp Abilities. There was a need for a camp in that part of New York, which is far from the Long Island and Brockport camps. The Saratoga Lions were so dedicated that they raised enough money to host the camp the next summer. They hired one of my students, Tiffany Mitrakos, who was just finishing her master's degree. The camp was held on the beautiful campus of Skidmore University, which boasted turf fields, large and spacious gyms, a large, well-lighted pool, nice dorms, and happily, an excellent cafeteria with air conditioning. The university was supportive, but did not offer Camp Abilities a price break. The cost of 26 campers for 1 week was the same as the cost of 52 campers for the week at Brockport. Luckily, this club knew how to fundraise, and they convinced the Saratoga community to embrace the program. That first year, I went up for the week to help. The Saratoga Lions Club spared no expense, providing brand new bikes, goal ball, beat baseball, and track and field equipment. They wore beautiful shirts with a wonderful Camp Abilities logo and treated the athletes with respect and dignity. Each night, they took the athletes to a community activity such as horseback riding, a specialty in Saratoga, bowling, or playing in a nearby park. A large number of Lions were present for each sport to support the athletes. Seeing so many Lions in one place for one cause with one voice cheering on our campers was extraordinary. The commitment of this club was unlike any I had seen. The children benefited tremendously. Each care to share was an amazing lesson in how much more a child can accomplish with direct instruction and feedback. I will never forget Faith, a camper who had a goal of riding the tandem bike 3 miles. By the third day of camp, she had ridden 3 times that. She gained confidence and self-esteem by leaps and bounds during this week. I also remember Paula, tall and thin and built like an athlete. Paula had come all the way from Colorado, as there were no camps near her home and her grandparents lived near Saratoga. She ended up being a judoka, one who does judo in her community dojo, as well as a runner in high school. I will never forget how comfortable and expressive the children had become by the talent show on the last night. Lions and community members alike came to watch individual personalities shine in this high energy, upbeat, and funny performance. One personality I remember fondly is Chris, who had low vision and first came to camp when he was 9. Chris had blonde hair, glasses, and a smile that melted my heart. He was a budding athlete who made friends easily. His nickname was Shake and Bake. Because of a dance he had made up, it started with his arms out to the side, making a wave motion, right to left, and then left to right, and proceeded like he was putting a chicken in the oven and then taking it out again. He liked the nickname and happily performed the dance for the talent show. One year at the Saratoga camp, when Chris was 11 years old, Chris and I were each riding a single bike around the track while waiting for the group to prepare to ride around the campus of Skidmore University. Chris was a confident bike rider, so I asked him if he could show me the shake and bake dance. He waved one arm and then the other, but he could not do the part where he put the chicken in the oven because he had to hold on to his handlebars. He said with exasperation, "Lauren, I can't do the whole thing. I'm only half baked." I could not stop laughing. The next year at camp, Chris completed a duathlon, a 4-mile bike ride and a mile run, and stood with me at the end cheering on the rest of the group. I was whistling for the campers coming across the finish line, and Chris said, "Wow, you're a good whistler." I do have a unique talent of being able to whistle with any 2 fingers on either hand. I told Chris this and asked him to pick any 2 fingers. Chris proceeded to hold out 2 of his fingers. I looked at him and didn't know what to say. I had indeed said any 2 fingers, but then I had to clarify, any 2 of my fingers. Chris loves being part of the Camp Abilities family. He has taught me not to take myself too seriously and to really get to know the campers, all unique individuals with their own hopes and dreams. At the 5-year anniversary, I went back to visit. The club had put up impressive banners all over the track to celebrate and thank the donors. By this time, many of the campers were sponsored by local community organizations and businesses. One evening, I had the opportunity to go ice skating with the group. Athletes who could not skate independently yet used walkers. Over the course of 2 hours, I watched a boy named Zach skate with the walker at first, then slowly become more confident and independent until he skated without it and was met with loud cheers. When I saw the smile on his face, I knew he was proud of what he had accomplished. I had to pinch myself, as this was after a full day of biking, beat baseball, goalball, and swimming. The Saratoga Lions Club has led by promoting Camp Abilities at state convention. We are fortunate now to have 5 Camp Abilities in New York, so some of our kids can camp hop from one to another. These camps include Brockport, Long Island, Saratoga, the Utica Camp through the Central Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and the Camp Badger in Spencer, New York, near Ithaca. We have created a generation of children with visual impairment or blindness who love sports and are growing up together as friends. This was my vision, my dream, when I first set up Camp Abilities. I'm so thankful for the Saratoga Lions Club and all the people who took it upon themselves to start a new Camp Abilities. I look forward to seeing what will happen next.